Amen. All right. So how was everybody's 4th of July? Good? Barbecue, swimming. Some of you guys look tired, I can tell. It's a lot, huh? But isn't it a blessing? I say it's a blessing to be able to gather, and even though you're tired, yeah, it is something about getting together with family and celebrating the freedom that we have, right? We truly are blessed to live in the country that we live in. I mean that wholeheartedly. That's why I'm sporting the Stars and Stripes today. And they play tomorrow, so hopefully, right? We need prayer. Prayer is important. A lot of people are praying around the world. World Cup is on. Mexico's playing today. Okay, so that'll be good too. You guys are, I can tell everybody's tired. I'm like, oh, Pastor, you're not funny today. It's okay. We're going to get into the Word because today the whole message is about being set free in Jesus Christ. Amen? Being set free in Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you guys remember a movie that came out like maybe late 90s? It's a movie called The Shawshank Redemption. Remember that movie? Isn't that an awesome movie? It's great. Anytime it's on, I'll just watch it. You know, it's like, and you know, it's interesting as getting ready for the message, and I'm like, man, what's an example of somebody? Because all of us, listen, Christ has come that we might be what? Free. That we might be set free from our sin, that we might be set free, be free from justice that we deserve. We deserve his wrath. We deserve his justice, but he gives us freedom. He gives us salvation. Amen? And so I was thinking about that. What's a good opening? And I just remember that movie. I don't know if you guys remember in that movie, there was a prisoner. He was in there for a long time. He had a life sentence, a prisoner by the name of Brooks. You guys remember that? And he was an older man, finally got paroled. He had been in prison his whole life. Right? And then he finally got set free, and he was trying to adjust to living outside of the prison system. You guys remember that? He was like an elderly man. He was trying to be a box boy at the grocery store, and he just couldn't fit in. He was free, but he wasn't really free. Because the prison was what? It was all that he knew. The prison was all that he knew, and in the movie, it ends kind of, that his particular portion of the movie ends kind of tragically because he ends up taking his life. Because he doesn't know what it's like to be free. And all he knew was what it was like to be a prisoner. And so for some of us here, and even some of the believers, we walk around and we say, man, praise Jesus, praise God, I'm free. Freedom. Right? But sometimes we're a little bit like Brooks. And we're still living in the captivity in our mind. Does that make sense? We still don't have, we're not living like we're free in Christ. We're still living in a little bit of bondage. Does that make sense? And today we're going to be learning out of John chapter 8 and the words that Jesus himself gives us about being set free and what it means. Amen? So let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 8. And we're going to be reading from verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. And we're going to read all the way through 47. And then we'll come back and break that down. Sound good? Let me know if you guys are there. Those of you guys are following on the string. You ready, Geronimo? Locked in? Doesn't Geronimo have a haircut? Yeah, look sharp. I was like, who's that guy? Yeah. Somebody give him a little meow, a cat call. Praise God. All right, John chapter 8. Let's get ready. Let's dive into the Word. It says, verse 31, it says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence. And you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do as Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for ways to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I have heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. And this, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language to you not clear? Because you are unable to hear it, I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. Murder from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove you have sinned? I am telling you the truth. Why do you not believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Amen? Man, those are some harsh words. When I read it, I sometimes giggle because I imagine that I'm there. And now you guys know this. I imagine Jesus talking to the religious leaders, and I'm just on the side like, oh, that was a good one, Jesus. Burn, you know, like, I love it. That's just my own, so I can't help myself, but that's a big passage of scripture. Now, what's happening is Jesus is already, he's being challenged by the religious leaders, right? And some of the Jewish people that were in the crowd, Jesus was telling them very clearly that freedom comes, right, from knowing who God is, but secondly, doing what? And it's actually the very first point in today's passage, in today's message, is that true freedom begins with following Jesus and abiding in his word. True freedom begins by following Jesus and abiding in his word. Verse 31 says that the Jews who had believed him, Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. And this next verse gets used a lot in movies, but they never quote where it's from. They say, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? Why don't they ever say John chapter 8, verse 31, 32? Right in the middle of the movie, right? They like to pick and choose from it, but not give credit to what credit's due. Freedom begins with following Jesus Christ and abiding in his word. Now, what does that mean? It means that, listen, if you want to be set free, man, you got to know who Jesus is. You got to really know who Jesus is. Not the Jesus that somebody told you about. Not the Jesus your grandma told you about. Not the Jesus your mom told you about, your friend told you about. You need to know Jesus yourself. Does that make sense? There's no grandchildren in the faith. Man, you are what? It doesn't say you have the opportunity to be called a cousin, my aunt. No, you get to be a child of God, right? There's no stepchildren in the faith. No, you are an authentic child. That means that he has to be your father. And that speaks to what? That speaks to intimacy. That speaks to relationship. So true freedom begins with following Jesus Christ and then what? Abiding what? In his word. Abiding in his word. Now, parents in here, you guys know you have children here. And that's a blessing, yes or no? Amen. Half of you guys said amen. Some of you guys are still on the fence. I mean, I'm still deciding. No, it is a blessing, right? But the other part is saying, listen, when you belong to the family, there's also a set of what? Expectations. There's a set of rules. That makes sense? It's not like you just belong. And now it's like, well, you have to do everything for me because I'm your child. Oh, yes. Get out of here. Right? Right? You're all taking off the belt already. What? No, listen. When you belong to the family, it comes with responsibility. It's not your job, kids. And listen to me well. It's not your job to take all of your parents' joy, all of their money, all of their energy, all of their everything. Right? Because if you do that, let me tell you what, you just suck. You're sucking the life, sucking the money, sucking the joy. God didn't put you on this planet for you to suck everything. He made you to produce. He made you to be a part of the family. He made you to be what? A member. Does that make sense? So listen, the kids at this church, they don't suck, okay? The kids at some other churches, they might, but not here, okay? Amen? That means that we're contributors. We're working. There's authority. There's membership with it. There's rights that come with it. Isn't that awesome? I belong here. But that means that there's responsibility with it too. I tell my kids, man, you better start cleaning up. You better start doing stuff. Because this, and it's not about works. Listen, we love our kids, what? Unconditionally. Yes or no? Yeah. Some of you guys are still on the fence, I know. But no, we love them unconditionally. But there's responsibility that comes with that. And when we take full ownership of every member of the family, man, isn't it a blessing when everybody is owning their role in the family? Amen? And so what does that mean? That Jesus is saying, listen, if you hold on to my teachings, you're really a disciple. But listen, you want to be a follower of Christ and not do what he's saying? Then what is he saying? What's implied there? If you're not following and you're not abiding in his word, then you're what? You're just faking it. It's like you just have the title. Like somebody shows up at my house and says, I'm your son. I said, get out of here. I don't even know you. Like, you know what I mean? I got enough mouths to feed around here. It makes sense? But if they start, it's a different message for another time. But what it means to abide, it means to listen, it means to obey, it means to... Now, parents, why do we do that? Because we hate our kids? We have rules and boundaries because what? We love them. And that's a blessing. It's like when Lily's abiding in my word, man, whatever you want, baby girl, you got it, ding, whatever. I want this, yes, baby. When she's not abiding in the word, oh, man. You know? Yes, all the kids, yes or no? It's true. So, kids, you have the opportunity to be a blessing. But parents, who's our Heavenly Father? God, right? Through Jesus, we have a relationship with God. And if we're not abiding in his word, then what? He says, then you're not my disciple. Ouch. I don't like that part. I like when he calls me his child. Come here, mijo. He's my mijo. He's my favorite. Right? You can be Jesus' favorite too, okay? Jesus has a lot of favorites. Okay, but parents, don't do this to your kids. Okay, don't do that. I tell all my kids, I love all of them. Every one of them, 100%. Not like my love is mixed. 100% of my heart goes to every one of my kids. Yes or no? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But just so that you know, I am Jesus' favorite. I'm kidding. But it means that I have to listen. It means that I have to abide. Right? I want to be his disciple. Man, listen, when somebody loves you like that, don't you want to just be around that person? Don't you want to be like, yes, whatever you say? Man, do you know what Jesus has done for us on the cross? Why wouldn't I want to abide with him when all he has is good things for me? Right? So we need to, what? Follow Jesus and abide in his word. Because he's also very clear, which is the second point of today's message, that sin is a prison that what? Enslaves us. Sin is a prison that enslaves us. And he says that in verse 34. It says, now Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, why is that? Because what? Man, the word of God is awesome, guys. And you guys know that what Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 6. 6:23, he says what? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We have to make sure that we are listening to God. Because ultimately, listen, when we're apart from him and we start engaging in sin, we already know it leads to death and it leads to slavery. Nothing good ever comes out of it. Now, sometimes I know it's like that's not a popular word to say around anymore, but listen, there is such a thing of doing what God wants you to do and doing the opposite. Doing the opposite is called sin, guys. We're not going to turn our blind eye to it and say, oh, we don't talk about that. Listen, lust, the pride of life, the envy, the gossip, The chisme, if you prefer it in Spanish, that's not of God. The greed. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's sin, guys. And nothing good ever comes out of it. Now, God is very clear. He said, listen, I'm telling you these things because I want you to live a life of freedom. I don't want you to be a sin to that, or a slave to that, sorry. A slave to that sin. Because sin always promises what? Sin and the devil, right? He lies. He's the father of lies. He goes on to tell them, so you're doing what your father has told you to do, the devil. Now, how does the father of lies get you to slip up? He manipulates. If you don't know the truth, then it's easy for you to get fooled, right? And that's why you need to be abiding in the Word, because if you're not abiding in the Word, then everything looks good, right? The temptation, the sin. Oh, you don't need to do that. The enemy, he's a big old liar. Remember what to do with the enemy? Bah. Karate kick. The right leg is always for the devil. That's right. Because what? The wages of sin is death. The enemy will tell you, do what you want to do. Do what feels right. This is also what the culture tells you, right? If it feels good, do you, right? I want to start talking like that already. Whenever I talk in the world, you do you, girl. You do you, guy. Like whatever. That's not the world. That's not of God. That, if you hear somebody talking to you, that's not the Holy Spirit talking to you. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk like that, with that kind of attitude. Okay? Just follow your heart. If it feels right to you. Well, Jeremiah, he tells us, man, the heart above all is desperately wicked. Hey, you deserve this. You deserve it. Get out of here. Get out of here, devil. Sin never delivers on the promise, guys. You know what it does? It lures you. It's like a trap. It looks enticing. How many of you guys have, you guys have like a little mouse come through the garage or something like that? I know. Somebody goes, oh, no, I don't have that kind of stuff. That's, oof. Never in my house. Okay. Well, we live in the country and mice sometimes will come in, guys. Okay. I have to set the trap. And I put the trap and I put the peanut butter. Even when I put it, it looks good, you know. Put all kinds of peanut butter on there. Because it looks good for the mouse. And the mouse comes and he's like, he stumbles onto the peanut butter. He's like, oh my gosh, what a meal. It's like a buffet for me. But guess what? He doesn't know. It's a trap behind it. I know you guys are laughing. That's how sin works. It looks enticing. It looks good. Like, oh yeah, I deserve this. Or I work so hard. Or da 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 da. Get out of here. Get that corn of sin out of my face. Right? You have to recognize how the enemy works. And if you're in his word, then you recognize the tactics. Did God really say you shouldn't do this? But this person, you're not happy. This and that. Man, get out of here, enemy. If we just listen to what God says and we abide in his word, then we recognize the trap when it's there. That we're not the little mouse coming up to the sin trap and bam, right? Next thing you know, you're dead in your sin, and you're captive, and you're chained to it. Does that make sense? Sin is a prison that enslaves us. And it's a trap. It doesn't look dangerous, but it is. Right? So be very mindful of what you're allowing into your brain. Be mindful of what you're allowing into your eyes. Be very mindful of where you're allowing yourself to circulate, guys. Because I'm telling you, the enemy's out there like what? Like a lion, looking to see who will devour. You know, it looks appealing, but at the end of it is death. And the same way, that's the same tactic that the enemy has always done. And then once you're there, you're like, the enemy has you in a headlock, right? Now you're bound, shame, guilt. You don't want to talk about it. You can't even see it because you're so caught up in it. Does that make sense? So you have to, you know, examine yourself. When you look at that, it's like, listen, I have to ask myself a serious question. Am I in a place where I'm struggling with somewhere, where I'm heading down a road of temptation, or am I stuck in a sin that I need to give it to Jesus? I need to be set free. Listen, the enemy wants to keep you in a place of shame and I would say guilt, and wants to keep you isolated. That's a bad place to be. You need to go to Jesus, you need to go to a brother and sister, and you need to what? Give it to God. Because ultimately, listen, you can try to fool people. You can't fool God, guys. He already sees it. He already knows it all. But if you're caught up today and something's holding you bondage, right? Maybe you're a slave to your anger. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's substance abuse. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's fear and anxiety. You got to let it go. All those things are sin, guys, honestly. Because the devil will take something that is good and then, what, call it a perversion. Like pornography is a clear one, right? God made for man and woman to become together to procreate and have kids, and it's an awesome thing. But then the industry comes and makes it what? A perversion of that, makes it pornography. Does that make sense? We're old enough in here to talk about that. But it could be substance abuse. It could be what about the things that you carry in your heart? How about the unforgiveness, right? How about the pride? Man, you got to let those things go. It's a trap. It's a prison. And the reality of it is we got to call it what it is. We have to stop minimizing it. You know, like, well, it's only just a little bit, Pastor. I need like this much. It's not a lot of sin. I just like put a little bit of, it's like hot sauce on my life. Right? I just need a little bit of this. You don't need any of that. Does that make sense? It's like, I just need a little bit of, no, you don't. Stop minimizing it and start calling it what it really is. If it's pride, it's anger and forgiveness. If you're watching things you shouldn't be watching, don't make excuses for it. Don't rationalize it. Does God say that, does he give you commandments? Yes or no? It's a black and a white thing. But we try to sometimes negotiate. Well, God, I don't know. Like, did you really mean that? Yes, he did. Like if my kids ask me, did you really mean that? Yeah. I'm pretty clear on what I said. God is pretty clear on what he said. Yes or no? Right? So stop minimizing our sin, because guess what? Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins, guys. Think about that. When you think about like your sin life is like a little bit of, well, just a little bit right here, like my hot sauce. Christ went to the cross for that. Does that make sense? To set us free from that. We need to bring it before God and be honest. And if you're struggling with something else like that, listen, you need people around you that you can trust, you can talk to, you can pray to hold you accountable to. Number one, it's God, right? The Holy Spirit will bring this conviction upon you when you are connected to him, when you're abiding with Christ. But if you haven't talked to Jesus for a long time, it's like, who's this guy? Get out of here. You're calling Jesus a collect call. I don't know this guy. Get out. No, I'm kidding. He will always answer. That makes sense? But you have to call. You have to pray. You have to be in his word. Because the good news, guys, is once we recognize what it is, if we're down that path or we're entrapped or we're enslaved or we're facing some type of sin, that Jesus alone, what, has the authority, what, to set us free. That's the third point in today's message. Jesus alone has the authority to set us free. And this is the best, well, listen, all of God's word, what is inspired by the Holy Spirit. But this one, where Jesus himself says, what, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And verse 36 says, so if the Son, that's Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen? Man, that is a beautiful passage of Scripture. If the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Not like a fake out. Like, have you ever like tried to work for forgiveness? You try to earn it, and you try to do all these things, and the person's still mad at you? It's not familiar? And then you get mad. Well, I already did all this stuff. Right? That person's holding it over you. That ever happened to you? Some of you guys? The marriage counseling sheet is in the back, okay? Sign up, guys. No, all the married people in here, I'm telling you. I'm kidding. It happens. We try to earn our way. We try to earn, right? If I do this, if I'll do that, maybe she, maybe he. Does that make sense? You don't have to do that with Jesus Christ. Listen, if he sets you free, you're free indeed. That means paid in full. Right? I don't have to earn it. And listen, when you wrap your brain around that concept alone, guys, listen, I don't think you realize, we don't recognize what a gift it is to be forgiven of our sins. We don't recognize the freedom that comes in it. We don't, when you do a comparison across maybe all the other religious systems in the world, whether it's Islam or the traditional Judaism where they don't believe in that Christ is the Son of God. You guys know that. And any other work system, Buddhism, Hinduism, it's all a works-based system. Not about you guys, but how many of you guys love to go to work every day? Love it. I can't get enough of it. I wake up, I mean, I just go to sleep. I can't wait to wake up to go to work tomorrow. Anybody like that? If that's you, praise God. You're blessed. Right? Most of us, it's not that way, right? We don't love that type of work. Does that make sense? That I have to work it, that I'm earning it, that I'm working. It's like work, right? What am I going to say right now? My wife already knows. Rihanna wrote a song about it. You got to go to work. Every other faith system is the Rihanna song. You got to go to work. In Christ, it's free, guys. Salvation is free. And here's the other thing that's so awesome about walking with Christ is that you know up front, there is a door that opens the door of salvation. It's what? He says, I am the way, right? Nobody gets to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And your sins are forgiven. And then he gives you purpose. And then you know what you're doing, right? So when you're working for the Lord, man, when I go to sleep on Saturday, I got to wake up tomorrow to go to church. I love it. Does that make sense? Now, don't tell my other boss that I don't wake up dreaming about going to work over there, okay? I love that job too. But here's where I was going with that. Listen, Jesus is the doorway. He sets you free. The forgiveness of sins. And then guess what, guys? You're in. You have a relationship. You have a way to know the Father. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. You have its instructions, his book. He cares about you. He loves you. In every other system in the world, guess what? The door opens and you don't know. You know what it's like? How many of you guys just went to or have gone like maybe to college? Some of you guys are in high school. And then you have to study. And then you wait to the final or the midterm. Now, if you did pretty good, you feel confident. And even when you take the final or midterm, sometimes you're like, oh, I didn't know how I did on that one. And sometimes they post a grade and you're like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Prayer does work because I didn't know anything about half of that test. Right? Yes or no? That's every other faith system, guys. You work and you work and you work and you work and you die. And then you find out if you passed or you didn't pass. I don't know about you, but I don't like studying that much. I don't mean like be all stressed out, right? Your stomach's all. I gave myself an ulcer. I was carrying 21 units. I had 3 jobs, right? I don't know about you guys, but that wasn't the best place to be. I was always on edge because I was studying, working, hoping that I was going to make the grade. Every other religious system in the world is like that, guys. Except the one that Jesus calls you into, where he says, man, come on in. Right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know the Father? You want to have forgiveness of sins? You want me to give you purpose? Man, I'm right here. When you get Jesus, you get God. You get identity. You get purpose. You get eternity. That's why Jesus is, when the Son sets you're free indeed. Amen. If you forget everything else that I say, don't forget that. You've been set free. And Jesus alone has the authority to set you free. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any was in Christ, he is a new creation. It says, behold, the old is gone and the new has come. Amen? And thank God for that. Listen, if you guys would have met the old version of me, man, you wouldn't have liked that guy. Some of you guys barely like me right now, okay? You would have hated that guy. Kidding. The old is gone and the new here. Galatians 5:1, which I read earlier, says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. You know, it goes back to that story with Brooks, right? He was free, but he wasn't free. He opted to actually take his own life because he didn't know what it looked like to adjust. Man, don't go back to that life. Don't go back to the yoke of slavery. That's like if I've been set free, the parole board says, you're free, and then you show up the next day and close the cell yourself. Does that make sense? You've been set free. And so the application for us is what? Even though Christ has died for the forgiveness of our sins, Stephen touched on a little bit, sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. Right? Jesus has already forgiven you. But I ask you this question. God went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He paid it in full. But we still want to walk around saying, I still owe something. You don't understand. I could never be forgiven. What? Jesus went to the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Oh, I can never be forgiven. I'm just a martyr. Does that make sense? No, Jesus went to the cross. Your sins are already forgiven. You don't have to keep beating yourself up over and over again. Now, that doesn't mean, listen, when we accept salvation, the forgiveness of sin, that doesn't mean that we make it cheap. We understand what it costs. Does that make sense? That doesn't mean that I go around and say, oh, well, he's going to forgive me again. I'm just going to keep on sinning because he's so merciful. That's not the way it works. That it means that if I accept Jesus Christ in my life and I have a relationship with him, the Holy Spirit comes to live within me, I have to stop sinning. That's right. Does that make sense? Why? Because the Holy Spirit, God himself, comes to reside within this temple. I know it doesn't look much. Okay? But on the inside, I'm getting fit. Okay? Spiritual fit. Amen? One person got that joke. I have to stop sinning. Because the Spirit of the living God lives within me. And he lives within you when you say yes to Jesus. Does that make sense? It means he's been set free. And he gives me the power then. I can walk in freedom and confidence to say, listen, I'm not those things. I'm not who I was before I came to Christ. Right? That I was a liar and a deceiver. And I was a manipulator. And I was unforgiving. And I was full of pride. You're not those things anymore. You're a child of God. The Spirit of the living God comes to reside within you. And he sets you free from all that. So, listen, you need to let yourself. You got to forgive yourself too, you know? And the reality is you have to let other people go too. Look, listen, God is God. Vengeance will be his. Right, just as much as God is merciful and is kind, forgiveness is a gift to you as well. But sometimes we're holding on to a little bit of pride and unforgiveness. And say, Pastor, you don't know how bad that person hurt me. You're right, I don't. Jesus does. And he went to the cross for the forgiveness of that person's sins too. You're like, I don't like that one. I like it when Jesus forgives me of my sins. But man, let him not forgive that. Send that one to hell. No, right? Do you understand? Like, God's mercy and grace is for everybody. But he offers you forgiveness of sin, and he also gives you the opportunity to forgive and let God be God. And there is a peace like you don't understand that surpeace that surpasses understanding comes with walking with Christ and trusting Him and letting Him be God. And allowing what? The Holy Spirit to work in you so that you can also forgive. That is truly a gift from God. You're not God. The crown wasn't meant to be on your head. I'm sorry. The world will tell you, put the crown on your head, you first. Get that out of here. You're not fit to wear it. There's already one king. He's sitting on the throne. And it's not you and it's not me. And thank God for that. Amen? And the last thing, number four, is that true freedom leads to a new family and a new purpose. True freedom leads to a new family and a new purpose. Now, you guys know in this passage of Scripture, the Jews are going back and forth about who's their father and who's not their father, right? And it says, oh, we've never been slaves. We're descendants of Abraham. Look at me, I'm all puffed up, right? And Jesus is saying, if you were truly a descendant of Abraham, you'd be doing these things, right? Instead, you're trying to kill me. You're not accepting me. I've been sent by the Father. And then he flips it on them, and this is the phrase: "You're doing what your father has told you, the devil." Amen. True freedom leads to a new family and a new purpose. In 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God." I have not come here on my own, but God sent me. And why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I said. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and a father of lies. Amen. Listen, if we're going to be walking with Christ, man, we can't be doing the devil's work. We need to be abiding in his word. When he says you're a child of God, that means it comes with responsibilities. It means that you know him, that you're in his word, that you're digging in deep, and you're not doing the devil's work on the side. That's not going to work out. You can't be a child of God and then be doing the devil's work. That's not the way it works, guys. Jesus is not only telling us about the freedom that we find it in him, right? But he's also telling us that we're free for something else. When you have a new family, some of you guys are like, well, Pastor said, I have a new family. I'm moving out. Okay. I do have one extra room. You can stay for like 2 days. After that, you have to pay rent. Okay. I have a new family, Pastor said. He invites you into his family, right? The heavenly family. This family, too, comes with responsibilities, guys. Amen? To care for one another, to pray for one another, to be there, to show up. Yes or no? Yeah. And so it's for something. You don't want to be that family member that's just all about you. You know that family member? The one you invited to the barbecue yesterday didn't bring anything. Right? Invited all his friends. Didn't bring a soda or a bag of chips. You know that person? You know that person. In your mind, you're like, oh, that's cousin so-and-so. My tia. She even brings the packing containers. Doesn't bring anything. But she brings she's ready for the to-go plate. Right? Don't be that person. You're invited into the family of God, but that doesn't mean, that comes with responsibilities, guys. You don't get to do what you want to do. Does that make sense? You have to contribute. Man, I'm getting the closeout music already. Like, it's our pastor. It's like I'm at the Oscars or something. Like, cue the music and start shutting up. we get him back in the car. Yes, you have a new family, and yes, you have a new purpose. Right? Man, he invites you to that. Isn't it awesome when you get to be used in the fullness of what God has called you for? Man, nothing is better, guys. Yes, you're going to be tired. Yes, you're going to be busy. When you're busy about God's work, nothing is better. So yeah, you have a new family, new purpose. And what you have to ask yourself is, am I using my freedom to serve Christ? Or am I just kind of using my freedom like it's for me? Me and Jesus. He's my precious. It's just me and him. I don't share him with nobody. You're like that person in high school that's always like, he's just for me. She's just mine. No, that's, what is that? You know what I'm talking about? You know somebody like that? It wasn't you. You know somebody like that is what I'm saying. Right? God has called you in, right? He wants you to use your freedom to serve, to give back to the kingdom, to build, to multiply for your purpose. And the second thing you need to ask yourself is, are you using that freedom to grow and to deepen that relationship with God? Or are you using that freedom just to, whatever makes you happy, whatever feels good to you? And yeah, we're tired, and every so often, you know what, go on and do a little Netflix binge here and there, but get in the Word. Are you growing in relationship with Christ? Are you going to the men's study on Tuesday? Are you going to the coffee meetups? Are you bringing your kids to connection? Are you showing up to service even when you're tired? Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. You think that he wasn't tired when he was getting whipped and scourged? You think he wasn't tired when he carried the cross? You think he wasn't tired when he felt the shame and the guilt of all of our sins, past, present, future, on him? You think he wasn't tired? He was tired, guys. But there was a separation, right? When he was at the cross in that moment, it was a separation from God. And sometimes we just like, oh, I don't feel like it, or I'm tired. Guys, it doesn't feel good when our kids tell us that. Man, when God himself invites you and brings you into your purpose, the answer should be, yes, God. If it's for your kingdom, you tell me where to go. Yes, God, I will be there. Because it's not about you. This life is about what God is calling you into and inviting you to be a part of. That's where the joy is, where Jesus is. Amen? So, yeah. Are you growing in your relationship with God? And are you living on mission for the kingdom? Or your just life is just about you. You're at the center of it, all things. Love you some you, and you're always on your mind. Right? Or are we thinking about the kingdom? Are we thinking about how God can use this situation, this circumstances for his glory? We're working towards him. Right? And for him. Listen, Jesus came to set us free, and we are free indeed in him. We can be free from guilt, from shame, from addiction, from fear, from condemnation, right? He sets us free. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord. Thank you that we can be set free. Thank you for the work that you've done for us on the cross, Lord God. And that you, the Son, who you set free, is free indeed. Lord, it's my prayer this morning, Lord God, if there's somebody that doesn't know who you are, that is still bound with shame, and condemnation, and guilt, and pride, addiction, is maybe in the prison of sin, Lord God, will you set them free, Lord God, through faith in you, Lord Jesus? That's my prayer, Lord God. And for the rest of us, Lord God, that we can just say, yeah, I am set free, but I'm not living to my purpose right now. I am set free, but maybe some from time and time again, I'm going back into that prison and I'm closing the door on myself. Father God, set us free by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, through Jesus Christ. Help us to walk in that confidence, Lord God. You've called us children of God, and help us to own up to the responsibility of being your children, Lord. You've opened the door, Lord God. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to walk through it and grow, Lord God. Help us to be sanctified by the power of your word and by the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be set apart to do your work and your will. That's where it's at, Lord God. But if some of us are in here, Lord, we're carrying around, like I said, that guilt, the battle, Lord. My prayer again is that they just fully surrender to you, Lord Jesus. Would they just leave that at your cross, Lord? Leave it at your feet and trust you. Salvation. You are who you say that you are. You are so good. And your plans are to prosper us, not to harm us, Lord. Your plans to Give us a hope in the future, Lord God, by trusting you fully. Lord God, thank you again that you came, Lord, that we can be free indeed. Not halfway free. Not free sometimes. Free indeed, always, in eternity, Lord God, by walking in faith with you, Lord Jesus, in relationship with you, and growing, Lord God, in your word. Lord, we trust you, Lord God, with our lives, Lord God. We know that you are in control of our future as well, Lord. So continue to guide us and mold us into your image, into your likeness by the power of your word. Help us say yes to the calling. And thank you again, Lord, for giving us life, the freedom that we have, Lord, salvation that we find only in you, Lord Jesus. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name.